Okay, this week's parasha is Parshas Vayechi. Okay. Vayechi Yaakov be'eretz Mitzrayim, and Yaakov lived in the land of Egypt 17 shana, 17 years. Right? And we know from Chazal that as soon as Yaakov, actually the previous parasha, as soon as Yaakov entered Mitzrayim, right, the famine stopped, and the chiyus, there was chiyus to Mitzrayim, there was life to Mitzrayim, because Yaakov came. Yaakov, who's the symbol of the Torah, represents life. And therefore he lived in Egypt 17 years. Vayhi yemei Yaakov, shnei chayav, the days of his years, shva sheva shanim, 7 years, va'arbeim u'mea shana. Right? 7 years and 40 and 100. Okay? So now, what does the first Rashi say? Vayichi Yaakov. Lama parsha zu stuma? Why is this parsha closed? Would have been stuma. Stuma means there's no gap between the previous parsha and this parsha. Right? So it says, first answer, two answers Rashi gives. Lefisha kivan shenifta Yaakov. This parsha is speaking about the death of Yaakov, right? Avinu. Nistamu einehim. Were blocked, were closed. The eyes, v'libam shu Yisrael, the eyes and the hearts of the Jewish people, mitzarat ha-shibud. From the tzar, the pains of the shibud, of the exile, shi'itchilu, which started with the death of Yaakov. The shabdan, they started to, mitzriim started to, or they started the shibud, the exile of the Jewish people. Dava acher, another thing, says Rashi, shebikesh legalot et haketz. In this parasha, Yaakov Avinu, see, just before the brachas of the children, Yaakov Avinu wanted to reveal to the Jewish people the ketz. What does it mean, the ketz? The ketz is the end. That's why he said, remember parashas niketz? He said, mokom ketz. That was also what happened with Yosef. There's a ketz of what happened to Yosef, that coming up to Paro and being sholet on Paro, sholet on the Eight Sahara. That was also a remez. And the dreams, remember we said? The dreams of Yosef. So Yaakov even wanted to reveal them the ketz. V'nista mimenu. And it was closed from him. Now, when something is nistam, when you cover something, it's still there. It's just covered. So it means the parsha of the brachas of the children, if you learn that parsha well, there is revealed the ketz. In the brachas of the children, we will learn about the ketz. It's just covered. It's written in a covered way. It's written in a sealed way. So if we get there, that will be the avodah, learning all the brachas of the children. You're learning. Now, what does it mean, ketz? It doesn't mean that we're going to learn the tarikh, the date, when the ketz will be. It's going to be, we're going to learn what brings us to that ketz, i.e., what each shevet, the tchuna of each shevet, the characteristic of each shevet, to bring us to that ketz. So now, we see that here started the shibud. But we know, the shibud didn't start. The exile didn't start. Till when? Till Yosef died. Right? In Parsha Shemos. Next week's Parsha, right? A whole Parsha. The Ur, v'yamot Yosef, v'kol achi, v'kol adohu. Yosef and all the Shvatim, all his brothers died. And then we say, v'yokom melech hadash, al Mitzrayim. A new king came on Egypt. Asher lo yadat Yosef, didn't know Yosef, right? And then, v'yasimu alav sarim misim, leman anotam, b'siv lotam, v'chule, v'chule. Then started the Shibud. So what's Rashi telling me? The Shibud started with Yaakov Avinu's death. This week's parasha. It's a long time later. After Yosef died and all the brothers died. So what's happening? Look at Rashi, clearly. Rashi's telling the answer. Chasam Sofer, I think, says this as well. It says that Einehem v'libam nistamu, their eyes and their hearts. He didn't say their bodies. The Shibud of the Guf started in Parashat Shemos when Yosef and all the brothers died. But the Shibud of the soul, the spiritual Shibud, started with the death of Yaakov. That's why the parasha starts. Vayechi Yaakov. Yaakov, who was a semel of the Torah. Yaakov, who represented the Torah. In yeshiva, we're alive. We have Torah, we're alive. Vayechi Yaakov. Yaakov was alive in Mitzrayim, in Eretz Yisrayim, the land of taivas, the land of desires, the land of the iPhones, the land of the froyos, the land of the, you know, Amazon, and press a button, get today. Yaakov was alive. The Torah kept him alive. The machon, the basis of his life, the Torah kept him alive. When Yaakov lied, when Yaakov died, when we were minutak from Yechi Yaakov, when we separated from the Torah, then started the shibbutz. If we go back to America and we separate from the Torah, nistemu einehem v'libam. What's einehem? What is einehem? There's two things here. Rashi doesn't say nistemu einehem. It says nistemu einehem v'libam. A yid has two things. He has a heart and he has eyes. Einehem, what is einehem? Einehem is einei hachachomim. Einehem, the seers of the people. Einei ha'eda, who are those? Those are chachomim. Those are the wise men. That's the people who tell you the derech. They see further than you. You go to a rabbi, you ask him. He sees further. The gdole ador of Shach. He has igarot, he has letters. And how many years? 20, 30 years ago. He started speaking about what's happening in Israel, about the Arab problem, that we're going to give them back the land. We're not going to even do it. We're going to give them it back to them. That's what happens. When he started speaking like that, people laughed. In Golis is a fog. In a fog, you have a car. You have headlamps. Some people have very, very bright ones. That's Gedolei Ador. The Torah that they have is Me'ira Lehem. Is light to them. We have headlamps, smaller ones. We can see a meter, so you go a meter. Yeah, you know, you're going in a fog, your car sees a meter in front of you, you go slowly a meter. They have headlamps 100 meters, 1,000 meters, depends on the rabbi. They can tell you what's ahead. Don't go this way, there's traffic, go the other way. You can't tell that. You don't see. You see a little bit, you have a little bit of Torah. You didn't have any headlamps. What would happen to you? You'd be in darkness. Or you wouldn't move, or you might bash into things. You might fumble. You might muck things up. You with me? That's what Torah is. That's Einehem. Einehem is the Torah. Einehem is, that's Vayechi Yaakov. That's the Torah. Nistemu Einehem. They lost the Kesher to Torah. Libam, what Libam? Ezu Havoda Shebalev. What's avoda of the heart? Zu tefillah. That's davening. When a person has Torah and tefillah and they're related. A yid, what's he called? When we build the mishkan, where do we build the mishkan? In our hearts. Bilvavi mishkan evne. When we build the mishkan in our hearts, that our neshama, our mind is connected to our hearts, then what are we? We're chocham lev. Who builds the mishkan? Betzalel, who is chocham lev. When we have Torah and Tefillah, and Torah and Tefillah are the same thing, they're connected. Chez the Chazon Ish in the Igeret. You heard the Chazon Ish? In his Igeret, one of the beginnings of his Igeret, he says, when a person's learning well, his davening's good. When a person's davening well, his Torah is good. What's that? What's Torah? What is Torah? Torah is your relationship with the Rotzen of your Creator. You're connecting to His will. When you're connecting to His will, you're not learning mathematics here. It's an emotional thing. You see rabbis when they talk, they don't talk with words, they talk with their emotions. When they're learning Torah, they're fighting. New sonim zelazer. You ever saw two, you know, what's it called, scientists or physicists talking, like, getting it, right? You know, waving their fingers around, right? It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. We're emotional because it's MS. It means to us something. It's our relationship. This is how you connect. Oh, this is how you connect. This is what Abaya says. No, this is what Rava says. We're emotional about it. It's a connection. Tefillah. You ever saw someone daven without any feeling? Just reading a book? an intellectual. No, it's an emotional thing. When you're connected in your mind to Creator, then you want to connect in your heart. Then the connect, you want to be even closer. You want to have an emotional connection. That's your tefillah. When you're connected in your, that's the Torah brings you to tefillah. When you're connected emotionally, then you want to connect to Him, mind. You want to understand Him better. When you go into Golas, the fear of Golas, the first thing that's taken away, that's what the parasha is teaching us. The first thing which causes our spiritual Golas is two things are taken away. Our Einayim, our Torah, our Lev, our Tefillah. If you go into Golas without those two things, Shibud, you're in Golas, and then starts the Golas, the Guf. Then the Guf's lost. 80% of the Jewish people didn't get out of Egypt. 80% were lost in Makat Choshech. They were lost. Makat Choshech was Choshech Shel Gehinnom, the Midrash says. They were lost to the Jewish people. In America, you have 70% assimilation. We're losing them. That's Makat Choshech. Kiruv, the statistic I was told. You know, I don't know these statistics, but I was told, maybe it's right, maybe it's wrong, I don't know, someone told me. Every year we get around 1,600 people coming from Kirov. That's an amazing thing. Tremendous. Amazing. Ken Yerbu should double Bizar Hashem next year. How many people are we losing to Yoshki pancakes? 2,500. To Yoshki pancakes. 2,500.
People can actually convert?
Yeah, Yidden for Yoshki pancakes. I don't want to say it even. You work it out. You think they have a lot of money, those guys. They have a lot of money. Not as much. We don't have. Not as much money being put there. We don't have the billions that they have. And they pick them up.
That one organization?
I don't know. Maybe it's a lot of organizations. I don't know. That's, I don't know this is exactly what I was told, but forget it. Mm-hmm. And how many people are we losing are marrying Glenn? It's a tipa. It's a drop. So I met a Rav this week, Yacobi, I think. So he told me, Binyamin, he told me that it's not, we're not looking for kamut. We're not looking for, I say kamut, we're not looking for numbers, we're looking for eichut. The Jewish people was always built on small numbers. Avraham Avinu was one person against the whole world. So you have to realize, your fellow Jews are being lost. More than you coming close. Your yechidim, your ones out of the hundreds. When you go back to America, one of you out of 100 of your friends didn't come. When you go back with strength. Go back with an Avraham Avinu. Go back that you're going to be a Kiddush Hashem. We don't do Kiddush Hashem. No one's asking you to go and knock on doors on people and say, come be from or become Jewish or anything like that. But in your lives, when you go back, you can all do it. You learned here 2 years. You know more than most rabbis, not from rabbis, but you know what I'm talking about. Why should I call them rabbis, right? Okay, but all right. But you definitely more than them. You give a shiur. You bring people home. You talk. First, your wife and family. But once a week, you learn, you give a shiur. You give a shiur in Chumash. You give a shiur in things. You'll be surprised how much you know. You listen to a tape of Rabbi Gershenfeld or someone else, whatever, or you download. You give a shiur. You are the one in 100. You're the little light in all this choshech. And in order to do that, you have to realize your eyes have to be uncovered. You have to be clear. Your Torah has to be clear. It has to be a dveikus to Torah and a dveikus to tefillah. None of these 25 minutes or 20 minutes will create a Torah. That's not for you guys. That's not for you guys. You guys, your Shemoneh Esrei is a 5 to 10 minute Shemoneh Esrei. Your davening, it's a davening. Your davening's a davening. Your learning's a learning. You're going back. You're not going back to Golas. You're going to bring Geula. Because you are Vichi Yaakov Eretz Yitzrayim. You're going to be living the life
of Chiyus, the life of Torah, the life of Tefillah in Eretz Mitzrayim. And then, so long as there's a Yaakov Avinu, there's a lot of Yidden there, but so long as there was a Yaakov Avinu, so long as there are these tzaddikim in Manhattan, Eretz Mitzrayim, right? There's no better description for Manhattan than that. The world of taivas. You can get anything you want. And you're standing there and saying, Vayechi Yaakov. I have Torah, I have Tefillah, I have Avodah. I'm a dugma, I'm an example of a Kiddush Hashem. And people will see you. You know, I was there in America. I was sitting down on a bus, right? And there was a Christian guy, he started asking questions. You know, he's a rabbi, right? And then I walk out and I tell him, you know, talk to him.
It's in America?
In America. Kiddush Hashem, we sit down. There's an Italian guy and his wife. So, like, I don't want to sit next to his wife. So I asked if he could move. I went via Italy to America once. So I asked him to move. So it's fine, rabbi, yeah, they understand. They're from Christians, I don't know which ones, but they're from. At the end of the conversation, right, they talked about their life. They were just newlyweds. In the conversation, they were asking me if they should buy a house in Napoli or not. Ask the rabbi, right? You understand? I once sat next to always happens when I ask them to swap seats, sat next to this Christian guy, right? So he was some sort of priest or some, like the equivalent of a rabbi in his thing, like modern Orthodox Christian. I don't exactly know what it was. Anyway, he was what's it called. So I asked him, you know, his daughter was sitting next to him. So I asked him if he could swap seats. So he said, no problem, rabbi. We started a conversation. Then the whole conversation was about, you know, he lost his wife and stuff like that. End of the flight, you know, he was half in tears with me and I was comforting him. A Yid is a Yid, they know it. And he was telling me all the way, you are the chosen people. He's telling me, you're the chosen people. The whole world is telling us that, you don't understand. China, slave labor. Africa, wars. ISIS, they're killing people. Hundreds of people, God knows what those people are doing there. Terrible things. A rubber bullet gets thrown at a Palestinian. News. The lies they're saying about it. Why? I want to explain to you something. You don't understand. We don't understand. You don't understand. Enei hem, their eyes are on us. Because we're so important. We just have to show them the way. You know, this week, maybe I shouldn't go, it was a Tanis. And I want to tell you something. We're not living, we're not listening to what the Kodesh Baruch Hu is telling us. We're not listening. Asara Batevet was a siege on Yerushalayim. A siege on Yerushalayim. You can only have a siege in Yerushalayim if we're not living Yerushalayim. What's Yerushalayim for us? Yerushalayim, the seeing of Shlemus. Yerushalayim is where people live. This life of completion, this good life, this Yiddish life. You can only siege something when you're lacking it. There can only be a siege in Yerushalayim. The Biryonim burnt all our wheat, all our food. We had enough. There's no way the Romans could have come in. These Biryonim, hotheads. They want to go fight. Chachabim are not hotheads. Make peace. Talk to the Romans. What happened? This is Asara Batevet. There was a UN. The Arabs went in. They said, we want 67 borders. We want Jerusalem. Sieging Yerushalayim. It was stopped. Baruch Hashem was stopped. But there's a siege. There's a siege in Yerushalayim. Wake up. Why is there a siege? Because there's no living of Shlemus. There can only be a siege if we aren't doing our job. Because Baruch Hu is talking to us. Wake up. Live with Shlemus. This is this week's parasha as well. Nistemu einayim v'libam. Living with Shlemus means living with proper outlook to life. That's the einayim. The Torah gives you a proper outlook to life. And the lev, the lev isn't filled with taivas olam hazeh, it's not filled with desires olam, it's filled with the tshuka, with the desire to connect to your Creator. That's what we're lacking. Now, the second Rashi, Dava Acher. Bikesh legalot et haketz. He wanted to reveal the ketz, the end of days. How do we get to the end of days? Nista mimenu. It was healed, hidden from him. Hidden means it was covered, like we said before. And that's what he explains in that all the Shvatim, he's going to explain in the brachas of the Shvatim. So this parsha, we have to understand now, this parsha is explaining to us how to live in Golos and how to bring from Golos. Like we said, Golos is a lashon of Gilui, to reveal in the Golos our Geula. Right? That's the vote. So now let's jump. Now we're going to jump to, we know the story of Ephraim and Menashe, right? So Yaakov Avinu, Yosef, right? Yaakov Avinu asked to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. That needs understanding. Why to be buried in Eretz Yisrael? So Rashi says the kinim, or a kinim and the gilgul of the mace, right? That's a tzar for the mace in Eretz Mitzrayim, in Chutz La'aretz. Therefore, he wants to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. What does that mean? Eretz Yisrael is Eretz HaKadosha. It's a holy land. It's elevated by the Shechinah, by the Divine Presence. Even in Golos, it has an elevation. Not as much as Beis HaMikdash, but it has an elevation. So the land has Kedusha. Eretz Mitzrayim, or Chutz La'aretz, has the Kedusha. It's a different level, it's a lower level, much lower level. Eretz Ha'amim, that's why there's Tumas Eretz Ha'amim, there's an impurity, Tumah means Nistam, a closing, it's Nistam, right? When you're buried, we know what burial means. Burial means Chevron, Chibu to the Nun, Chibu to the higher worlds. If you're buried in a land which is Nistam, which is closed, your Chibu is a much lower Chibu. Much lower connection. So in order to create for your chibur to be a proper connection, i.e. it's a land of more physicality, there's more of a tzar to come to that connection. Whereas if you're an Eretz Yisrael buried, you're already in a proper chibur, so you don't need that tzar, that pain, to come to the higher level of chibur. So that's why Yaakov Avinu wanted to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, but Marat HaMachpelah, which is Chevron, which is the place of connection to that Nun. So that was quick. Now we'll go to the brachas. Now, when Kodesh Baruch Hu came to the brachas of Ephraim and Menashe, right? So we see here that Yosef brought, he heard that Yaakov Avinu was dying, right? V'yikach Yosef et shneim, with Ephraim b'yamino, in his right hand, mismol Yisrael, the left hand of Yisrael. Now we say that Yisrael, his name is Yisrael, not Yaakov, because it's begadlus, right? He's giving them the brachas. V'et Menashe b'smolo, miyamin Yisrael. So you want to put Menashe on the right side, Vayigash Elav. Now, there's a big thing, Vayigash Elav. It says, and he came close, he approached him. Vayigash, previous parasha, if you understand, I'm going to say it quickly. If you understand this, Vayigash Yehuda. The Yehuda connected to Yosef. That was the revelation of the Malchus of Yehuda that's going to appear here, the fixing of the Chet, of the tribes, this Mechiras Yosef. That all machlokas comes from Mechiras Yosef, that I heard from Rabbi Trivitz. All machlokas in every generation comes from Mechiras Yosef. And then, Geshuna, please come close. After you rebuke them, Ani Yosef, Odavinu Chai, Geshuna, come close to me, please. And then, he put them in Goshen. Goshen is Gash Nun. Connecting to the Nun. So whenever you see Vayigash, Vayigash means connecting to that Nun. That's what the whole point of Goshen is. Goshen means a place of Torah. Nun means Nun Shari Bina, the 50 levels of Bina, which is Torah. That's why Torah is given on the 50th day, Shavuos, right? That I said, Bekitzel. That's the whole parasha of Vayigash, if you understand it. I said it in Rosh Prokim. I said it, but that's, I explain this word Vayigash Elav. So here, is the brachas of Ephraim and Menashe are going to be the brachas of how to get to that Nun, i.e. how to get to Matan Torah, which is how to get to Geula. Because the Geula means connecting to Shara Nun. That's Beis HaMikdash, there's a place of Hashrat Shechina of Torah, right? That's what Matan Torah represented. Yeah? You with me? Understand? Okay, so now. Vayigash elav. Vayishlach Yisrael et yimino vayashet. He placed it on Rosh Ephraim. So he swapped his hands. V'hu hatzayir. He's the younger one. V'tzmolo al Rosh Menashe. His left on Menashe. Shikel. He turned them. He moved them. He turned them around. Right? Right. From Loshen Haskel, with wisdom, with Chochmah. That's what Unklus explains. Et yadav. Ki Menashe abecho. Right? Vayevrech. God, who went, your fathers in front of him, Avram Yitzchak v'Yitzchak, Elokim haro'eoti, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who guided me, me'odi, from the beginning, ad hayom hazeh. And then he says, HaMalach haGoeloti, the Malach who redeemed me, mikol ra, from the Ra of Golos, Yivarech et ha'narim v'yikre behem shmi v'shem avotai, Avram Yitzchak v'yidgu l'arov, and they'll be fruitful like fish, dagim. They'll be, why dagim? Without ayin hara. We'll learn that from the brachos of Yosef. Just a dagim, a mechusa, a covered, so there's no ayin sholet on them, so it's without ayin hara.
What's ayin hara?
Ayin hara means bad eye. Mm. It means jealousy. Mm-hmm. And for us, simply speaking, David, means more than that. V'idgula rov bekerev ha'aretz, and there'll be flourish barov l'rov in multitude in the midst of the land. That means the Jews in Golos don't show what they have. They're covered like dagim. They're fruitful and multiply, but covered. You with me? That's why it's bad when you didn't flash things. You understand? Not a good thing. Be quiet. In Golos, you're quiet. Vayar Yosef, and Yosef saw ki yashit aviv et yimino al Rosh Ephraim. He put his hand on Ephraim, his right hand. Vayera beinav, it was bad in his eyes. Vitmoch yad aviv lasir otam. He wanted to move his father's hand to remove them. Me al Rosh Ephraim, from the head of Ephraim, al Rosh Menashe, put on the Rosh of Menashe. Vayom me Yosef el aviv lo ken avi. This is not right, my father. Ki zeh habucho, Menashe is the older one. Sim yeminecha rosh, put your hand on his head. V'yimayen aviv, he didn't want to. Yimayen's a strong loshen. Yimayen, no. V'yome, yedati, I know. Bini, yedati. Twice he said, yedati, bini, yedati. Gam hu yela'am, also Menashe will be a people. V'gam hu yigdal, and he will be great. Ulam achiv akaton, his younger brother, yigdal mimenu. Bizarro ye mlo goyim, and his children will be the filling of the nations. And then he blessed them, biyomahu v'yivarechotam lemo v'cha yivarech Yisrael, and this is the best thing I'm going to give to Yisrael, this is what we give our children every time on El Shabbos, lemo yisimcha Elohim, Kodesh Baruch will place your children, k'Ephraim k'Menashe, like Ephraim and like Menashe. V'yasem et Ephraim lifnei Menashe, placed Ephraim before Menashe. What's this machlokes of Yosef and Yaakov? What's happening here? Yosef thinks one thing. It's wrong. This is wrong. That's not the way in Golos. Yosef says, no, this is the brokers in Golos. First Menashe, then Ephraim. In order to understand, we have to understand what does Menashe mean? What does Ephraim mean? Right? Where do they get their names from? Yeah? So Parshas Miketz, Mem Aleph, Pasuk Nun Aleph, 41-51. Vayikra Yosef et Shem HaBechor. Yosef called the name of the Bechor Menashe. Ki Nashani Elokim et Kol Amali. The Kodesh Baruch Hu, what's Nashani? So Unklus translates here, Nashani. When I came here, I wasn't clear, it didn't seem to me that was the Pshat. Nashani is something like double. But then I saw the Unklus and someone in the bus, I don't know his name, he helped me and said, no, look at Unklus. Unklus, you know, I saw, but Unklus says, An Shiani, made me forget. So I'm going to explain both Pshatim. Unklus says, made me forget, Ekol Amali, all my toil, That was Shvet Mi. How can you forget the house of your father? So probably what it meant was, the pshat is, that I forgot all the tzar of my toiling in Egypt. Yosef had a lot of tzar. 10 years in Beit Asurim. When he was in the thing, it wasn't simple. He was in prison, you know. When he reached Chumash, he was there for a few hours, and he got whoop, out of there. He was 10 years in prison. And every day...
Who was in prison for 10 years?
Yosef. 10 years in prison. And every day, Potiphar came to him to seduce him. And if she didn't, he didn't listen, and he didn't, she would torture him. 10 years of torture in prison. And Yosef was mitgaber. Potiphar represented, you know, he said, the concept of this Yetzirah. Right? He was mitgaber against Potiphar. And brought down to Nazar. Because Yosef was so strong in his Nisayon, he was zocher to that Malchus. Because he was molech on himself, on his taivas, so he was zocher to be melech of Mitzrayim. Because Mitzrayim represents taivas olam. He was a melech on those taivas, so he was melech on Mitzrayim. He was sholet on Paro, who represented taivas olam hazeh. You understand? Not simple what's happening here. One person. You go back to America, you're sholet on your taivas, on taivas Manhattan. You're melech. That's real kingship. Anyway, so now let's go back. So it says, so Menashe represents the forgetting of the Tsar of Golos. And now the Beis Avi means, what's Beis Avi? Beis Avi is the Tsar that came from his father's home, the brothers, the Machlokas with the brothers. So Menashe represents the ability in Golos to live with all this Tsar and forget it. And so what does now Ephraim represent? V'chem Hasheni Karai Ephraim, ki hifrani Elokim be'eretz oniye, that I became fruitful in the land of my sorrows. So, now that we understand, there's two aspects to living in Golos. There's the Tzar of Golos.
What's Tzar?
Tzar is the pain of Golos. Tzar always is when you have Tzar. When I want something, I can't get it. I really want something, I can't get it. That's when you have tzar, because we have pain. So tzar, I want kirvah l'Kadosh Baruch Hu. I want good, I want that closeness, I want terror, I want fear, I want those things. I can't get it. I'm in Golos. The forgetting of that tzar, the ability to live with it and forget it, that it's not so painful that I can't live. Because when a person has tzar, he can't live. And then on top of that, we have another thing, we have Ephraim. What is Ephraim? Beretz Oni, in the land of my affliction, I can be fruitful. So Yosef, he had these children in this order. God gave him these children in this order when he was in Mitzrayim. So this is the order of Golos. This is the way it should be. That's what God said, isn't it? That's the way Golos should be. First, I have to cope with my pain. And then I have to be fruitful in Golos. Says Yaakov, no. First Ephraim. The way to forget your Golos isn't to nullify your tzar, to come to connect, is by being fruitful in your growth. Grow. Ephraim. Grow in Torah. Ephraim represents Torah Shebaal Peh. Yeshua came from Ephraim. Yeshua is Manchilas Eretz Yisrael. Yeshua is the beginning of Torah Shebaal Peh. When you're in Golos, Golos is to be fruitful. Golos is there to the Torah of Golos to be revealed. I think maybe I've told you, the Luchos, when they were broken, they were shattered and sent out all over the world. They were shattered, the Shivrei Luchos. Golos is to bring back all the Torah of the Luchos Arishonos. All the Torah, to bring them back from all the places it was lost. That's the Lashon of Gilui, to reveal all that Torah that's in Golos. The Torah of America, Art Scrolls, right? The Torah of Russia, Yerushalmi, right? The Torah. The Tsar of Golos brought from Russia, Targum of Yerushalmi. The Tsar of Golos from America, the need to translate the Talmud into English, to give it open, the Batifta. All the Chidushim that comes from America and Eretz Yisrael. The Chidushim that comes from the Golos of Eretz Yisrael. The yeshivas, the Tzar of Godos brings out Torah. When did Tosus write his Perush? When there's a medieval, the medieval age, when there's Tzar, that Tosus wrote his Perush. When did Rebbe write? Destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, Rebbe wrote down. When there's a fear of losing something, then there's an Orut of Torah against it. Talmud Bavli, when there's Godos Bavel. The Tzar of Godos is Ma'oreras, that's Ephraim. That's what Yaakov Avinu is saying. Yaakov's telling us, when we go to Golos, don't be the Eved. It's there to be fruitful, to be fruitful in your learning. Don't think I'm leaving Yeshiva now. Oh, I left my Chibur to Torah. I've left my Inayim Velibam. I lost it. Be the Eved, I have to work. I have to have a family. Be the Eved. No. You go to Golos. Ephraim and then Menashe. The Ephraim is to be Pruvu. You're learning in the morning with the Tzar. You got up early. You just want to, everyone else is schluffing. Anyone else in Morgan, what's it called? This Morgan, what's the place? This bank? Morgan?
Standard.
Standard? Whatever it's called. It doesn't matter. This bank in America, right? Whatever it's called, right? They're getting up. They come in, 9 o'clock, right? They just schluffed out of bed. You can see that. You are up from 7 o'clock in the morning, davening. An hour's learning, or maybe 5 o'clock. You get up, it's tzar, it's dark, no one's around. You, the yid, spends the time davening. Not only these cheapo minyas of 20 minutes, you had a 45, an hour davening, a nice shmoneh esrei, and you had a chavrusa. And then you come to work after 2 hours of ruchnias. The tzar, you didn't have tzar, you were puruvu. You were fruitful in Golos, and then you came. And then you were dugma, the example. And you're an honest businessman, and your boss respects you. He sees you have principles, and you live with them. No Shabbos work. You're there every day, and he trusts you with the big clients, with the money, with the thing. He trusts you because you're an honest person. You wouldn't take you. You wouldn't steal because you would be caught. You don't steal because you have a God who told you not to steal. You with me? That's what we do in Eretz. That's what Yaakov is. That's why our blessings to our children is Kefraim and Asher. Because when we have the Puruvu of Torah and Tefillah, when we have the Enayim Velibam, right? First Enayim. First the Enayim. First Torah. That's what Yaakov was telling us. First Torah. First Enayim. First the proper outlook. First Yeshiva. Then the Leiv. The lev won't be a lev of tzar. It won't be. It won't need the menashe. Automatically, neshani elokim. Automatically, you'll forget the tzar of Golos. Because our Torah will be so much living our Torah that the tzar of Golos, our tefillah, we won't feel that tzar. It'll be a different tefillah. You understand? That's what the machlokus was. Yeah. When a person is living with Torah, when a person is growing with Torah, he doesn't see so much tzar. He might have it. It might be mitzias by him. He has all these tzaras. But it's forgetting. He forgets it. He's a different level of living. When you're living a physical life, tzaras can bother you. They can bother you tremendously. Because you're living a physical life. This one tzaras, that tzar. But you're living on a different plane when you're living with Torah. When you go to Chutz La'aretz, you're going to get Enayim. You're going to have eyes to see. You're living in a different plane. You're living with Torah. Then the rest of the day is just your Moshech that Torah into the rest of your day. Your Moshech God's Rotzen is the rest of the day. Different life. And then you have another shiur in the evening. You come home, see your wife, eat with her, talk to the children. Then you have another shiur in the evening. You have 2 hours of learning. Then you come home, you know, at a reasonable time. 10 o'clock home, you have to get up, you know, you have to get up at 5, 6 o'clock. Okay, so you sleep less, you sleep 6 hours, spend another hour with your wife, go to shluf, you get up at 5, you manage with 6 hours. Why do you manage with 6 hours? Because, you know, sleep isn't a function of how much you need to sleep. Sleep is a function of your mental well-being. People who have a lot of stress, a lot of things, need to sleep more, have emotional stuff, need to sleep more. When you're at peace with yourself, you don't need to sleep much. That's what it is. Your tzar, nashani, your forgetfulness of the tzar. And Golas has a lot of tzar. There's a lot of tzar in Golas. Golas, that's what it means. Golas, we want to be connected. We're not connected. That's what the mitzias of life is. When there's no tzar, you know, Matan Torah, there was no, what do you think? There was no cholim. There was no people who were ill. There were no people who were blind. There were no people, everyone was shalom. Because when the mitzias of geula, the mitzias of shlemus, what does shlemus mean? When we're completely connected to our Creator. When a person's completely, and how? With his Torah. Yaakov Avinu was shlemus, because Yaakov Avinu was Amud HaTorah. Like we're saying, Pirkei Avos, right? Amud HaTorah is Yaakov Avinu. What do you mean, Amud HaTorah? Ve'achi Yaakov. When Yaakov was in Egypt, how could there be famine? Yaakov represented Amud HaTorah. How could there be famine? How could there be cholim when there's Matan Torah? The world's coming to shlemus, Kirva LaTorah. That's what Yaakov told us. First Ephraim. When you go back to Golas, first plug into Torah. First Torah Shabbal Peh, first Ephraim. And then you won't feel the Tzar of Golas. You won't need the Menashe. You won't need to forget the Tzar of Golas. Because you'll be productive in Golas. Spiritual productivity. Right? Ephraim is just a kadima. It's how you go. Of course, Menashe we need. Of course they'll be forgetting about tzaras, but the way it's done. Bracha means, what does bracha mean? Bracha means when I'm connected, berach comes from needs. That's maybe explained to you already. When I'm connected to something, it means because I'm subduing myself to something higher. When I subdue myself to productivity, to be productive in Torah, to the Ephraim, to Pru Ruvu in Golas, right? Then there's no more. Of course I have Nashani Elohim. Of course, Menashe, I need the bracha of forgetting, right? But that'll be more automatic, because that's the order that'll happen. We're saying, talk about the order, right? Both things will happen. First, Yosef saying, no, Menashe is born. First, you have to overcome the Tzar of Golas. You can't get to Torah without overcoming the Tzar of Golas. And then Ephraim, no. Forget about the Avoda of Golas. The way we're over it is to take Torah to Golas. You with me?
Yeah.
For Yosef, Yosef was born with the Tzaras. Yosef went with the Tzaras of his brothers, with the Tzaras of Golas. That was a Metzias of Yosef's life. And only afterwards, right? Yosef didn't have Torah. Yosef only had the Torah of his father, right? Yosef competed with the Tzaras of Golas. He fought first the Tzar. He fought the Yetzirah, the Tzar of fighting the Yetzirah. And only afterwards did he connect with his father, Vayechi Yaakov. Only afterwards, the first thing he connected with his father was the Agalot, the Egla Rufa, right? He connected afterwards when Yaakov came to Mitzrayim, then he reconnected to Torah. You understand? So that's how Yosef understood, since Mitzrayim is the Tzura, the form of Golas, that's how we live in Golas. First we have to grapple with the Tzar of Golas, first we have to grapple with the Yetzirah, and then we connect to Torah. Right? Revolvi says a similar thing. What's the tachlis of all tikkun amidus of Musa? Musa's mosin of miyase. We grapple with ayetzar. We grapple. How do you say miyase? When you miyase someone, you inflict him. We grapple with amidus. And then we become a clean vessel to receive Torah. That's a simple understanding. No. No. Says the Ramchal. Mehashpa'ot hagdolot. From the biggest hashpa'ot that Kodesh Baruch Hu gave to the world. He gave us Torah. We don't understand what Torah is. We don't understand it. Says, the Torah changes a person bigger than any other mitzvahs. You need conditions. What's the conditions? Yerub Talmud. You have to know what you're learning. You're learning Dvar Hashem, you're learning the words of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. This is not a simple book. This is the words of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. No other book you kiss. No, because you're makbid on which one goes on top of the other one. It's Dvar Hashem. Yerub Talmud. Know what you're learning. Second thing is, Tikkun HaMaisim. When you're learning Torah, you have to fix yourself. So it seems, right, there's a little bit of achlokas here. It isn't really. We've always not arguing. We've always saying that that's what Tikkun Amidus is, putting it into its proper perspective. Don't think that you got good midas, you're done. Good midas, you just made yourself a vessel to receive Torah. If you're missing out on the Torah, you're not going to contain those midas. Torah is what you're putting in that vessel. Your goof is good enough without a neshama? Crazy. You're not alive if you don't have a neshama. Your midas are good enough without Torah? You're crazy. That's what Rav Volbi is telling you. How you do it, Torah does it. But you need Musa for the Tikkun HaMaisim. That's the Tanai that Torah enters you. That's what Rav Volbi is explaining. The condition that Torah enters you is you have these two things. Otherwise, Torah even works, even without trying to change your actions. Even without, doesn't work as well though. Says the Ramchal, it works as a segula. It works. Not the whole hashpa of Torah, but it works. And he brings a midrash. The Tzuria says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Halavai oti azvu. They leave me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, they leave me. Halavai, they leave me. V'torati al tazvu. But my Torah, they don't leave. Why? She'or sheba, the light in it, Magziram lemutav, will bring them back to good, will fix them. Even Torah, which doesn't have these conditions, even it's only a segula, even that little light of Torah, kal v'chomer, when you're learning to fix yourself with your Torah, you're learning, you know what you're learning. This is Torah Hashem. When you put first Torah, and tikkun ha'maisim with learning Torah. Don't fight your Yetzirah without Torah. It's not going to work. You with me?
Why is the pasuk in them say sur mirav asin tov?
That's a surah. That's a way. So the way is, first person, look, you can't do like, you know, speak Lashon Hara and then, you know, like, and do a good davening. The Arizal says, what's the kavana we have in davening? What's the kavana you have in davening? Before you go davening every morning, what's the kavana you have? V'after erecha kamocha. Love your neighbors yourself. You come into daven. Daven's avos Hashem. How can you have avos Hashem if you don't have avos Yisrael? How can you have avos Hashem without avos Yisrael? V'after erecha kamocha. You just spoke a shtickle lashon hara, and then you come down, forget it. I'm not saying you forget the davening, but it's missing. You understand? Sumirav asetov. You can only, it's the same thing. Yeah, that's a musa. You have to clean the vessel to put good stuff in it. If you have a wine, a good wine, right? The best wine. You know, we were in Tzfat, we went to the Galil, this wine factory there, right? Tasty wine. Good wine is not wine, no? Right? For me, no difference between a 20 shekel wine and a 100 shekel wine, right? But okay, you know, so people understand. The good wine. You put in a, they have special barrels, oak barrels from France, because that's where the good oak is, or who knows. They're expensive barrels, right? Can you imagine they put into something like, you know, schmata barrel with like, with dirty a little bit and stuff like that? How would the wine taste afterwards? All this process, they put in a schmutzy barrel. How would it be the best of wines? The 200 shekel wine, how would it taste afterwards? Wouldn't taste like a 200 shekel wine. It'd be schmutzy, right? The Torah, the best of wines. Torah, you put in a schmutzy barrel, become schmutzy. Clean yourself. That's what Musa is, to clean yourself. It's the barrel. But anyone who thinks that the tachlis is the barrel is missing. No one wants the barrel. The barrel's only for the wine. The tachlis is the Torah. Because that's what makes you into a beautiful, fixed, and shalom human being. Yaakov, who represented Shlemus, Vayechi Yaakov. Vayechi Yaakov, the Shlemus of Yaakov, the Shlemus of Torah. Torah's midas emes, Torah's emes. Kodesh Baruch Hu's emes, his rotzen is emes. How much we're dovuk to the amito shel Kodesh Baruch Hu, which is his rotzen. That's how much we're dovuk to Shlemus. Anyone who's shalem, who's dovuk to the midah of Yaakov, is shalem. Anyone who's not dovuk to the midah of Yaakov, even if you have a perfect barrel, it's an empty barrel. What do you need it for? It's a nice thing. What do you need? It's a nice barrel. You can sell it for people to wine it. But if there's no wine in it, or if there's not a vintage wine, okay, wine, so it's a good wine, you know, the barrel keeps it. It's not going to, great, you know, put one of these, you know, these kiddish wines, you know, these 10 shekel wines or 20 shekel wines into like a oak barrel you spend like hundreds of dollars for, right? What's it going to do to it? Not much, right? Not going to do much to that wine, right? You need to put good wine in there, a good barrel. That you have a good barrel. If a Kodesh Baruch Hu gave you a good barrel, don't waste it. Don't waste it. Use it for the good wine. Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us all good barrels. You're the 1 in 100 of those people. And remember that. 1 in 100. How many Yidden we're losing? 80% of the Jewish people we lost in Mitzrayim. 20% came out and received Torah. You're part of that 20%. I don't even know we're 20%. We're probably even less. We're in Golis. But you're the 1 in 100, or 1 in 200, or 300, I don't know how many you are. But you go back, you're building that barrel here, you're filling it with wine, you take it back, and then other people, when your barrel overflows, you can taste your wine to other people. And they'll taste, they'll understand the difference between Kiddush wine and good wine from the Galil. They'll understand. They'll understand. And then when they hear and they taste that wine, they want to taste good wine as well. And you say, listen, you know where we got this wine for? Over there in Yeshiva. Go, fix your barrel. Go get some wine. Then you can taste good wine from yourself. You don't need to come to me. And you can have a nice life, a great life, a good life. You understand? That's our tachlis and galus. That's what we're here for. And we'll do it. We'll do it. Ephraim, then Menashe. We'll be Puruhu. You go back, you give Shurim, you teach people. Even one guy. Rav Sadka said, 2 people's a shir. 1 person's a chavrusa, 2 people's a shir. You start with 2 people. It'll fill. You'll fill, they'll fill. You have to work to learn for that shir. So you have achrayas. You sit and you learn. And on Sunday or Shabbos, you give that shir. And you taste from your wine, and they taste from your oak barrel. The oak of Machon Yaakov, or Machon Shlomo, the oak of Yeshiva, and the wine of Yeshiva. That's a different wine. What barrels they have? The barrel of Froyos, and of whatever they sell there? That's a barrel. What wines they have? How to become a good, how to become a successful person in 7 ways? Give me a break. How to make money in 7 ways? I'm not saying it's a good book, it's a good book. But if you understand the book, it's how to become a successful businessman. That's not life. That's not life about. It's good to have money. But it's not the end all and be all. And most of us won't have it. Well, you can't be a good you without money. You can't be a tzaddik without money. Well, only people who have money are successful people. That's what God created the world for? No. He created the world for you to be tzaddikim. Anyone can be a tzaddik. The poorest of people sometimes are the biggest tzaddikim, not the richest. Because they know what they're living for. I'm not saying if you're rich, you can't. But it's a bigger nisayon. To be poor is a nisayon, to be rich is a nisayon. To be a beinoni, Shlomo Melech said, that's less of a nisayon. The biggest bracha is to be a beinoni. Have enough what you need, but not too much. But whatever Kodesh Baruch Hu gives you, Baruch Hashem. You with me? That's the tachlis of life. That's what the parasha is speaking about. Okay?